Just arrived at your final destination. If it's raw, real, and unedited, I like it. Live from the bottom of my heart, this podcast is everything you've never expected. I'm going to sign my name across the airwaves by daring to be different. Muchos adiós. Happy Monday. I think it's October the 10th. It could be the 10th. I woke up delicious today. And what I mean by delicious is I love to wake up with the rain, with the sound of the rain. And then I like the sun. No, actually, I love the sun. I'm in love with the sun. And I got the best of both worlds today. So it's not that I'm confused or, you know, mixed up. It's that I like the best of both worlds. Now, I've been thinking a lot about mixed signals, mix-ups, confusion, because I'm single as fuck, and I have been for much longer than what I thought. And it's so confusing for people just to say what they want to say and do what they want to do, which is a little difficult for me to understand because I'm very black and white. I have no filter. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I have a podcast, is I just say what I want to say and I don't really have any qualms. That's why I'm very careful with what I say and have no issues with being recorded, because I can stand behind everything I say. I always see it. I physically see the struggle in human beings when they're trying to say something and they want to say something else. You'll likely see yourself differently than the way others view you. And this can create a lot of misunderstanding unless you become mindful and aware of this issue. So when someone says, I'll see you at 2 o'clock, and they show up at 3 o'clock and have no issues doing that, it's not that they're deluded. It's that the way they allow themselves to be is self-blinding. So when you're an hour late, it's really not offensive to them. To you, it may be. This is a mixed signal. This is an example of a mixed message. I don't have unique insight, but what I do know is that the domain of punctuality is different for people. For me, it's an insult. I'm always on time every time. But for some people, it's okay to be late. The difference between that, the way you see yourself and the way others see you, is not just a matter of egocentrism. It's a matter of we don't see anything wrong with that. We change our self-conception because of the difference in the way we see ourselves and others see us. So part of that mix up, confusion, discrepancy, if you will, is perspective. It's just that. It's just perspective. Like a fact that it looks like you're scowling through your phone and, you know, just in a trance with your telephone, and actually you're listening to someone else. That's also perspective. I think it's rude when someone is talking to you and they're looking at their phone and they're like scrolling up and down and staring at messages and they're not making eye contact. I think that that's rude. Some people don't. Some people have the talent to do both things effectively and consider this multitasking. How well we understand ourselves has a very deep and profound impact on how we navigate socially. Now, for people like me that are extroverted and, loud, it's easy. It's easy to understand what I mean. They're amplified, my meanings. They're in your face. We're so biased by the need to see ourselves in a good light that we sometimes become strangers to ourselves. And that happened to me this weekend. I was with someone that I thought I could perceive, and guess what? I couldn't. So by soliciting feedback from other people, meaning not just myself, I was actually with a third person, and that third person was able to agree with my perspective, which helped a little bit. So are we sending the right signals to people when we don't say what we want to say to be understood by others? In other words, the first step, what I'm trying to say is the first step is you have to understand yourself. And that's difficult sometimes. There's no perfect point of view, man. There isn't. How you cut through the bullshit and learn to see yourself clearly is a challenge in itself. Different perspectives provide different feedback, different information to self, to bring some order to all the things that can be known about you. I've thought about being concise. So first, there's the loud spots, the bright spots, the stuff that you can see. Things that are known by yourself and by others, such as, like I was saying, being an extrovert is pretty visible. It's a very tangible thing to identify. I'm very talkative. Most people will say, oh, Magda can talk to a tree and the tree will talk back. And I agree with that. And it's probably true. Then there are the dark, hidden spots, like, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like I was saying, I thought I knew someone and then I didn't. These could include deep unconscious motives, like behaviors that I couldn't identify. Like I'm trying to please my parents and I never met the parents of the person. So it's so interesting because the things that motivate people to be who they are sometimes very unknown to the person standing in front of them. So you can't really assume much. Then there are the very intimate spots, things that are only known by the self, such as I'm terrified of lizards. The tendency to get anxious in front of people, coworkers, crowds. And finally, there are the blind spots, the completely blind spots that are unknown to others, which can include such factors as defensiveness, how attractive you are to other people, your intelligence, so your IQ. How does someone know they're beautiful? Because they look in the mirror? No, they get that from feedback from another person. If you've been told all your life you have the most beautiful eyes, chances are you have the most beautiful eyes. The most interesting are the last two, and that's the hidden parts, the blind spots, and also the intimate spots. Those are the most involving discrepancies between the way we see ourselves and the way others see us. Transparency is something that I love. We're not entirely deluded about ourselves. Sometimes we have unrestricted access. For instance, what I like and what I believe are something, I say it out loud. Most people don't. Most people keep this to themselves. So when we see someone quiet, we might misunderstand them as being stuck up or rude. But no, they're just quiet. You're still the best source of information about your own beliefs, attitudes, and preferences. So, I know what I believe, but the person in front of me might think I believe something else based on their perspective. We often think that others are aware of our anxiety, of our fears. Like, I'm standing with somebody I've known for 10 years, and they don't know that I become paralyzed with fear when I see a lizard. They don't know this about me. Now they know that I'm very strong and they know that I'm very outgoing and they know all of this. And then they see me fall apart. We overestimate the extent to which our internal states are detectable by the person in front of you. It's an illusion of transparency that we assume that the people in front of us know exactly what's going on. A bias known as the spotlight effect. This is the spotlight effect. Personal spots, like the intimacy that I was talking about, they exist because others know how you behave, but they don't know your intentions or feelings, right? So, like I said, if you're quiet at a party, people don't know if it's because you're just an arrogant human being or if you think you're better than everyone else, or it could just be that you're shy. And your general level of happiness is something that only you know. So what's going on inside of you rather than things that you do are two conflicting mixed messages. Those are the things that other people around you have a hard time knowing. This is an issue that creates social anxiety for people at a party, at a public event. I'm very, very public. I'm very, very outgoing. I also prefer to talk to someone one-on-one and just look into their eyes quietly in a corner. That is my preference. Most people don't know that about me. I don't have any issues speaking in public. I do not get nervous speaking in public. On the contrary, I like it. It's my job. But if you ask me my personal preference, I love eye contact. I love to look into someone's eyes and just talk quietly. I prefer that. Why intelligence and attractiveness escape the self is so interesting. There are a lot of reasons why you might think you're the best judge of yourself. After all, you've known yourself longer than anyone else except mom and dad. You've spent more time with yourself than anyone else. And you've momentarily been surrounded at parties or surrounded by friends and strangers, etc. But you're also biased. You have a vested interest in seeing yourself as a decent, good, competent, and not bad person, right? When it comes to the traits of matter of self-esteem, we tend to have positive delusions. Of course, I'd like to think I'm 6 feet tall, but I'm not. I'm 5'2". Now, who can say this better than me? Probably my friends, my family. They can say that I'm 5'2" easier than I can. Our own beliefs of being behind our back are mixed. I mean, you don't listen to people talking about you. It's difficult to judge your own intelligence or your own level of beauty. It is. The same goes for honesty. Such positive delusions about the self are often something you can adapt to boost your confidence from time to time. By the same token, we're not aware of how attractive we are. Like I said, you've been looking in the mirror, but do you know you're beautiful or have you heard you're beautiful? But also, that's a mixed message because you can feel beautiful, but how others see us is more valid. So it's just so salient to other people. It's a matter of physical perspective. Your own body isn't in your visual field. So you need to trust and rely on the feedback. If you don't know how irritating or how attractive you are, it's probably via direct information from the people that surround you, your friends, your family. When perspectives clash, in other words, when Joe says, Magda, you're so beautiful, or when Peter says, Magda, you're just pretty, those people are often misguided. Their perceptions of your character, of who you are, your personality, are probably going to reflect that opinion. I think the best judge is maybe your husband or your wife. They've been with you longer. Your friends, it turns out, the people that are not with you every single day but know you very well, they probably can predict a lot of things about you better than you can, such as how long you'll stay in a relationship, favorite foods. In many cases, we have the necessary information to understand that things are as they are, but our blind spots, the ones that don't allow us to see, we need to take those into account too. When my perspective disagrees with Joe's perspective, it can probably come from Joe doesn't know the history of my parents, and I do. Am I sending the wrong signals? Are you sending the wrong signals? Mixed signals. Sometimes people are misunderstood. People perceive us as cold and unfriendly when we're really just feeling shy or tired. Or a lot of people think I'm a flirt. I'm not. I'm just really, really friendly. It's really interesting, the dynamic of how someone else will see you. Or can somebody perceive you as being depressed when we're really just tired? Sometimes I'm just tired and I become quiet. Some people might understand that as being depressed. Being misunderstood is largely a problem of lack of feedback, lack of 411. Communication solves wars. So does body language. So do the words around you, the people around you. Communication is key. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like if you just say what you want to say and follow up and follow through with your actions, you'll have less issues. Extroversion, and that's me. I mean, I'm an extrovert, amplifies what I do and what I say. The enormous amount of verbal information that I provide makes it easier for the people around me to understand my personality. It's not that I'm an extrovert. It's that you have enough information to understand who I am. Some people say I blurt things. I have the tendency to say, sometimes I sound like I have Tourette's. It's an amplifier, really. It's like being an open book. I prefer that. I like that. To see ourselves as others see us, I often ask people, so what do you think of what I said? What do you think of what I did? I need that feedback. I'm not trying to be, I really just want to understand how people see me. I want to make sure that I have clarity with people. More talkative than your friends and less productive than you might wish. That's something that comes from not understanding, lack of communication. Such information as my parents, my upbringing, my friends, my wishes, my accessibility to people, those are things that, those are my blind spots. So Joe might be standing in front of me. He might think that he knows what I mean, but he doesn't know anything about my past. So he doesn't know anything about where this comes from. Social judgment forms the basis of interaction itself. So Joe's feedback on who I am or who he thinks I am will create a successful relationship between me and Joe. And this is what I mean by single as fuck and mixed signals. Communication is key. Almost every decision others make about me, about you, from promotions to friendships to marriages to divorces, is based on how people see you. In a time where everything is through media, so that picture is how people see you. So even if you never learn what you are really like, if you never really know your own self, learn and ask how others see you. It's a good goal to have, to understand that. It's a good guidance for yourself. It's feedback, and feedback is what? Power. So getting an outsider's perspective actually provides you the tools that you need to have less mixed messages and maybe more success in every aspect of your life. Performance, gauge it, ask. There's nothing wrong with that. So when somebody is late and you might understand that as disrespect or as being unkind or et cetera, which I often make the error of thinking, it might just be that that's okay with them. So my message today, my mixed message on Monday is just be clear. If you want to say, I love you, say, I love you. If you want to say, fuck you, say, fuck you. If you want to say, thank you, say, thank you. I often say, thank you, even for the bad things. And I like to be very clear. I don't like to mislead, and I don't like to embellish, hold back, withhold. All of that is for the birds. Happy Monday, and try not to send mixed messages. Let's communicate openly. I think we could have a better life if we did. I got him. I got my favorite sponsor. They're all my favorite sponsor, but this one's open for life. I'm so fresh, fresh to death. Here in the 305, there's a place called Hugo Fresh, where we drink mad juice. They've got the right medicina for you. It's where the vida is. Homegrown, local love, community members, and just downright outrageous. They're paddleboarders. They're yogis. They're very LA, very New York, and now they're my sponsors with various locations throughout South Florida. www.hugofresh.com. They're open for life. Did you like me? Did you hate me? Tell me why. You can find me at www.atrev-t.com. That means to dare. I dare you to contact me. My phone number is 305-903-7160. I'm on Instagram, R-E-V-E-T-E. I'm on Facebook, A-T-R-E-V-E-T-E, Inc. I'm incorporated. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm everywhere. Contact me.